Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm John McEnroe.
I'm Bjorn Borg.
This is Martina Navratilova.
I'm Mats Wilander.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
I'm Andy Murray.
And you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
Well, hello and welcome to the Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph. It is Tuesday. It is about 5:45 in the evening. We have slate grey skies and it looks very much as though we're not going to get any more play on anything other than centre court, where I suspect we're going to have about a four-hour epic between Svetlana Kuznetsova and Caroline Wozniacki. Myself, David Law, joined by Catherine Whittaker, Simon Briggs from The Telegraph, but very nice to have Jonathan Ovren from the BBC here with us as well for the first few minutes.
Hello. Hi, how are you?
I'm very well indeed. What was it, 11 years as the BBC's tennis correspondent? How was it?
Not that you were counting. It's very good. Plenty of entertainment over that time. Not much entertainment here standing in the rain. So nice to bump into you, David, to pass the time.
Bumped into me by standing next to me at the start of the show. Jonathan, Andy Murray played his first round match today. You're the man who described his victory at Wimbledon 3 years ago. Is he a better player now than he was then?
Yes. I think he's improved every year. He's looking good. He's in good nick. I think what was impressive about winning the Aegon Championships at Queen's is to do that off the back of his run at the French Open. That's what impressed me, and that's what I never really saw in those 11 years, was a really good run at the French, followed by a really good run on the grass. Inevitably, there were the years when he'd lose early at Queen's. Then something might happen here at Wimbledon. But now you just feel like he's in that groove, you know, that winning groove, that refusal to lose early in a tournament. And I think that will really benefit him here. The Lendl factor.
Do you actually believe in the Lendl factor?
I do believe in the Lendl factor.
I know we all joke about it, and Jamie Murray's got his hashtag and everything, yeah. But I mean, you actually saw him from... I mean, I remember you interviewing him after he won the US Open Juniors, didn't he? And yet followed the Mark Petchy years, Brad Gilbert, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Did you notice a big difference the moment he came along?
And the rest, the Miles McLagan era. What an era that was. Here we are. No, absolutely. Yeah, the Lendl, you do. You can't but help to respond to him. You know, even when you only come across him in a corridor, you respond to
What's
him.
What's he like to interview?
Very hard. Tricky. Tricky, not easy. I might do my Lendl impression now. Shall I do a Lendl? You try and interview me and I'll be Lendl.
So, Ivan, how's it feel to be back with Andy Murray? What do you intend to bring to the table?
I'm not Ivan, I'm Jonathan. So you got that wrong for a start.
That is pretty much how it is. Simon Briggs is trying to get a word in edgeways here. Hi, Simon.
I was just going to say, I watched a lot of these interviews because we would always be there hovering with our notebooks with the next slot after overs had gone in and done Lendl. And it was a battle of wills because he was trying to sneak one in underneath those defences and the portcullis would come down and Lendl really relished it. And you seemed to quite relish it as well, but I don't know if that was because you just didn't want to give in and show him you were beaten.
What do you do when you've got somebody who's just giving you nothing like that?
Well, you see, I think that's a bit unfair. I think he did give us some little information along the way. Not much, but little bits. But he'd always smile, you know. He'd give the answer and then he'd do a little smile as if to say, either I've got you there or work that one out or I've told you nothing. Did you enjoy that? So, it was tricky. But going back to what you were saying originally... Yeah, you can't help but be affected by just the way he is, even in just everyday everyday life, everyday occurrences. So relate that to a practice court and a match day, and there is absolutely no way that Murray is not a better player for having Lendl around.
You're commentating here for BBC Television. What have you been up to today? Have you actually managed to get a match in this weather?
Yes, got a match in, completed a match, which was good, which was Wawrinka beating Fritz in four
sets. What did you think of those two?
Yeah, it was good to see Fritz, because obviously 18 years of age, youngest man in the draw, ended last year as the world junior number one. He's going to be good. I do think he's going to be good. 18 years of age, big future. Obviously, when you're 18 these days, you've still got a few years, I think, until you can really make a serious impact. But already he's inside the world's top 65, so that's pretty good going. Wawrinka looks a different man and has done for 2.5 years since winning his first slam, as we were both there in Melbourne, David, when he won the Australian Open in 2014. But he's still prone to inconsistency. He's still prone to lapses in concentration. There were a few of those today. Should have won that match in straight sets, but just let Fritz back in. Inexplicably. And if I were Magnus Norman and Richard Krajicek watching on, I wouldn't be happy about that, because Wawrinka's in probably the best quarter of the draw, I would say. Should be in the semi-finals, but any lapses of concentration like that against more experienced players, and he might find it tricky.
It's going to be interesting, isn't it? Simon Briggs, Catherine Whittaker here with us. Simon, just quickly, we didn't get to speak to you yesterday because you were writing your mammoth Marcus Willis piece. What have you found out?
No, it wasn't the mammoth one, actually. The mammoth one was written by Daniel Johnston, who is normally our Formula One correspondent, but this was a human story, I think, so it was one that you know, a good sports writer like Daniel, he did really well with it. I just did a little comment piece on the side. It's amazing. I mean, I think in this week of all weeks, when a lot of us are feeling pretty gloomy about life, it all actually adds to the Willis story. It's like everybody in the whole country have seized on this as the only good thing to happen in the UK in the last 7 days.
It is an extraordinary story. We were going over it yesterday, Catherine. We've heard that his coach has been speaking to people today. Did anybody actually get to speak to his coach?
Well, again, I'm not doing this story tomorrow either, but Dan Schofield spoke to his coach, Matt Smith, who has an interesting backstory himself. He was the best under-14 player in the world and even beat Andy Murray a couple of times as a junior. So I think the conversation wasn't too much about that, but obviously the Willis story. I did speak to Chris Eaton, actually, who was talking about when he came through qualifying and pre-qualifying here, won his first round match, played Dmitry Tursunov, and he said when he went out there, he actually, for his big match on court number one, he said, I felt more nervous doing my driving test. So hopefully Willis will be the same tomorrow.
Well, what I enjoyed, Catherine, was hearing Roger Federer talking about being up against Marcus Willis. And you could see that sort of inquisitive nature of Federer coming out, and the mischievousness of him, how he enjoys taking on a guy who looks like he's basically come off a park court.
Well, not just enjoys. He said, I feel privileged to be a part of this special story. I mean, What Marcus Willis must have thought reading those quotes, that Roger Federer feels privileged just to be playing a small cameo role in the story, in the fairy tale that is Marcus Willis. I mean, that is just extraordinary. And he said, you know, this is one of the greatest stories in recent years. And as Simon says, in the context of what a miserable time this country seems to be having, it's just so very welcome, isn't it? And that, yeah, all these developing facets to the story, like Matt Smith, his coach, and like, you know, everybody's fixated on his girlfriend, who seems to have, well, so goes the narrative, seems to be the one that spurred him on to make this last quest for Wimbledon glory. And so it's all down to her, apparently.
Yeah, it's a nice story. Have you ever seen the terrible movie Wimbledon?
Oh yeah, yes. I think I even watched it twice just to check it was as bad as I thought it was.
But I mean, really, it feels as though it has just followed the script. I remember when they filmed it, the segment at Wimbledon here, and they stopped one of the matches just so they could film the moment that Peter Colt came out of the locker room.
Yes, that was on one of the outside courts on the south side, wasn't it? And sort of pretended it was centre court. It all came together. But no, I mean, it is a ridiculous story, because I remember almost 10 years ago being out in Australia. You might remember, David, one day we were chatting to one of the British coaches, and he said, oh, it's been a bad morning. Why is that? We've had to send one of the boys home. Why? What was the problem? And it was something to do with leaving his rackets at the hotel ahead of a practice session, and that turned out to be Marcus Willis. But great to hear him admitting as
much. Just called himself a loser.
A loser. Said I was a loser. Well, yeah, I suppose you were, mate. But well done.
We've all been there.
And but the Federer smirk is intriguing, isn't it? I mean, how much of that do you think is because you know that he's got a chance of now winning a love match on centre court? That's probably part of it, isn't it? We're knowing Roger.
See, I don't agree. I think that he genuinely loves these kind of stories.
Well, it's good for tennis, isn't it? It's good for tennis, and he can see that.
I think he's just curious about it all.
Yeah, I don't think he'd have had any more trouble with Berankis than he will do with Willis, who has a really good serve when it's firing and is unpredictable. What will be interesting is how the crowd responds, because Federer has never had less than 50% support on centre court, in my experience, not even when he's playing Andy Murray. So will he have a bit of a headwind in the audience? Can I just interject with one nerdy stat? I love a nerdy stat about Wimbledon, the movie. Dominic Inglot was Peter Colt's body double, wasn't he?
Really? I never knew that.
Jonathan Overend with the sarcasm there. Live at Wimbledon Studios today, Catherine, I know that you have had Goran Ivanisevic on a daily basis in the studio there. He turns out he is the hero of Marcus Willis and actually congratulated Willis after victory yesterday. Have you spoken to Goran about that yet?
I have. I understand that a selfie exists of Goran and Marcus together. It was taken for the pleasure of Marcus's mother, who is the world's biggest Goran Ivanisevic fan, as I understand it. At the moment, it's just in her personal collection. I have tweeted Marcus Willis and asked him to share this photo with the world, because I think we all want to see it.
Without reply so far.
Without reply. He's a busy man. I'm not taking it personally.
He's got a fair bit on his plate. What else has happened in the Live at Wimbledon studios today? Who else has been on before the rain came down? What happens when it gets apocalyptic like it did about an hour ago? Do you all run for cover?
We're doing some quite spectacular filling, David, because rights-wise we're only able to show one game per set per match, and usually in the first week that's a real joy, because you're jumping around from court to court and you're getting that real, it's almost the experience of having a grounds pass at the tennis, which in the first week is fantastic. You can get a flavour of...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, Tennis Podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking, and I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. Being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life, and of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right.
Absolutely everything. But when the rain comes down, it is tough because, you know, one game per set per match from the one match that's going on doesn't get you very far. And lots of featurey stuff, lots of Goran Ivanisevic telling stories of 2001, which never seem to get old. Lots of
Teletubbies inevitably came up.
Teletubbies inevitably comes up. In fact, he's compared his story a little bit to that of Marcus Willis, in the sense that he had very nearly given up playing professional tennis before he went on that 2001 run. You know, that story actually starts at the Australian Open in 2001, when he was stuck out on court, what he calls it court 250 for qualifying, almost couldn't find the court, almost decided I can't be bothered because he actually couldn't find the court he was supposed to be playing qualifying on. And then he rocks up to play a warm-up event in Brighton, smashes all his rackets, gets defaulted for insufficient equipment, ends up having to play. If he'd won that match, he wouldn't have had to play qualies at Wimbledon, ends up getting a wild card. The rest is history.
Awesome. You see, that story definitely has a better script than Wimbledon the movie, doesn't it? I mean, they should just have done a factual biopic on that rather than invent Lizzie Bradbury, the kind of rather tedious American junior or whatever she was.
Goran's obviously put too high a price on the script rights, obviously.
Yes, unquestionably. Serena Williams victorious today in her first round match. Pretty competitive for a bit, but she went through easily enough. What else have we been watching today? Johanna Kontos played a set and then had to scarpa. And looking at the skies, I mean, there could be a bit of a backlog the next couple of days, do you think?
Yeah, maybe. Of course, this early in the tournament, you've got the time to make up the ground, as it were, and they won't even be thinking about a reserve day yet. Forecast for Wednesday isn't great. So, you know, if we get to Thursday and we are severely behind, then that might come into play. But Konta, you know, great to see her here, seeded, of course, isn't it?
And I mean, could you ever imagine that? I mean, you would have covered her early part of her career.
No, would not have imagined that. So great work at the US Open and the Australian Open, of course, from her to be seeded here. I know Alexander Zverev is battering Paul-Henri Mathieu, so he's definitely one to watch, I think. A year older than Taylor Fritz, 19, but 6'6", and golly, he's going to be some player, David, isn't he?
He is. And the other one who obviously is rich in potential, but a bit bonkers as well, is Nick Kyrgios. He won through in four sets. Slightly aggro-free, which I was disappointed about, Simon.
Yeah, there was a bit of an ebb and flow in the middle of the match. He did get a warning for unsportsmanlike behaviour, didn't he?
Oh, good. He also did a tweener lob as well for a clean winner. Did you see that?
No, I think he did check some of the official checklist for Nick Kyrgios matches. There were a few of the usual tropes were in there.
The lob winner was unbelievable. What a great shot that was. By the way, ahead of the Wawrinka-Fritz match, the umpire, who was Carlos Ramos, who you know, David, was going through the normal protocol at the net and Hawkeye this and tiebreak sets that and the coin toss. And he said to them both, and no damaging the court and no naughty words. And I thought, I've never heard an umpire say that to anyone before. I thought, is this new protocol that's coming? No damaging the court. Yeah. It's like, why? What's going to happen?
I've heard it, I think, twice before. And actually, the other time was today.
Right.
Mohamed Leani said something similar to Stepanek and Kyrgios before their match. Not the courts bit, but certainly the language.
Okay, well, they've either identified certain potential troublemakers, because I know Wawrinka had a little bit of a thing going on the practice courts before the tournament, and obviously Kyrgios has a history of a bad behaviour warning. So, yeah, maybe there's something sort of been written into the rules this year that no one's told us about.
It has been the highest penalties in the last couple of years have been for people who've whacked the court and caused a dent in it.
Yeah. But I don't think that's due to lack of familiarity with the rules regarding on-court profanities somehow. I don't think it's because anybody needs to be reminded. Well, I suppose it can't hurt.
Now, see, we're standing outside the press office here. Now, let's see what they're going to tell us.
...before too long. So, for the moment, the covers are staying on. We'll bring you another update in a short while. Thank you.
Thank you. You're telling us absolutely nothing.
And the gift shop is that way, and the strawberries can be purchased there, 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 and there.
Indeed. So what else have we been watching today, Catherine? Another British winner, Tara Moore, who I think did pretty well in Nottingham, didn't she, recently?
Yeah, I watched a fair bit of her in Nottingham where she reached the quarterfinals and played some really good tennis. It's a week for the rogues, isn't it? For the outcasts of the British tennis scene. And I thought she was fantastic. Really, really engaging, you know, really interesting to interview. Certainly not someone that follows the script in any way. She's quite small, you know. She's of the Dominika Sibulkova mould of tennis player, low centre of gravity, but she really packs a punch on those ground strokes. And it's exciting. It's exciting to see her win a match.
Jonathan, we'll just get a little prediction from you for the rest of the tournament. Who's going to end up occupying the semi-final spots in the men's draw, do you think? Can you see anybody stopping the obvious?
Whose quarter is Zverev in?
Oh, that's a question I don't know the answer to, but I know
Simon's
what you mean.
Simon's off to get a draw. Well, okay. Well, while he's doing that,
let's just fill.
Djokovic.
The fact that you're asking that question, though, Jonathan, is very telling. You think draw permitting?
Well, I'm thinking
he has a good chance of getting to the quarters.
I'm thinking Wawrinka is the seeded player in his quarter, right? So he's the number four seed. I saw Wawrinka today. He was all right. He was seven and a half out of ten. Simon can't find the page. One more page, Simon.
I heard a comparison between Zverev and a young Borg the other day.
Borg, but how many other people do you want to mould into that as well? There's a bit of Borg. There seems to be a bit of Becker. There's a bit of Karlovic. I mean, there's a bit of quite a few players in there. So I'm going to say Djokovic is going to make it. You see, he's in Wawrinka's quarter. So there we go. So I'm going to mix that up a bit by saying it's going to be Djokovic. It's going to be Murray. It's going to be Zverev. And who's going to come through Federer's quarter?
Probably not Federer.
Probably. Logic would say probably not Federer.
I would say Federer.
So
but I don't necessarily
I'm going
logic.
To say Federer. So I'm going to go Djokovic, Federer, Zverev, Murray.
Yeah, it's all right. You can copy me, Jonathan. That's
put that
fine.
On your toast.
Put that on my toast. I will do.
Women's, are you interested in that?
Yeah, go for that as well, yeah.
Okay, just checking. Yeah. It's very good, this tennis podcast. I do listen, by the way.
Just clearly.
Just making sure the balance is right. Serena? Definitely Serena. Do you know what? I'm going to go for Konta.
In the semifinals.
Muguruza and Madison Keys.
Okay. Jonathan Overend, former BBC tennis correspondent, now BBC tennis commentator on the telly.
It's out there.
It's out there. Jonathan has made a cameo that has lasted 19 minutes here on the Tennis Podcast, which is the entire show. We don't have an order of play for tomorrow yet because it's raining and they're delaying stuff. And we've got the John McEnroe show to do fairly shortly. So we've just sort of crowbarred the edition of the Tennis Podcast into all of that. Catherine, are we going to get any play tomorrow outside the centre court? You are the person who knows about the weather.
None of the apps say so. Usually you can always find one weather app which will give you a slightly more optimistic forecast, and nobody seems to have identified one that is doing so for tomorrow. So I'm going to be pessimistic about tomorrow and hope to be pleasantly surprised. But I think we could be facing a little bit of a backlog come Thursday.
And Simon, what are we going to be reading about in the Telegraph tomorrow?
Marcus Willis again. You cannot get too much of a good story.
That's it. It's basically the Marcus Willis sort of supplement.
Has anything else happened at this Wimbledon yet? I don't think it has it?
No, Andy Murray has taken a bit of a back seat, let's be honest. Even he's enjoying the Marcus Willis story. From Catherine Whittaker, Simon Briggs, Jonathan Overend, and myself, David Lord, thanks for listening to us here on the Tennis Podcast. We'll speak to you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.